With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Hello everyone and welcome to this week's EvoStick Extra. My name is Ben Hughes and welcome to the Holiday Inn in Barnsley for this year's MPL Player of the Year Awards. Coming up in the show, we're going to be hearing from some of the winners, and later on we're going to be previewing all of this weekend's fixtures. But let's head into the room now to find out some of the award winners.
So on to the winner. Our 2,500 votes, and by a gap of 16 votes altogether, deciding it. The winner of the MPL show, supporters, player of the season, from Witten Town, Dale Hodson.
So joined by probably one of the bigger winners on the night, winning the Supporters Player of the Year from sponsored by the MPL show, Dale Hodson. First of all, how does it feel to win that?
Well, it's a surprise. Obviously, I was buzzing to get within the five, but then obviously to win it is on another level. It's just, the lads that are nominated, obviously they're doing right in their leagues, respective leagues, so it's a big bonus and plus in my career.
So obviously you're still, obviously you've been in the team this year as well, as one of the midfielders in the Premier Division. What's the atmosphere like, or will it be at this moment in time going towards a playoff run?
It's confident. We've got four cup finals now, but I think we've got enough in the locker room to go there and do what we need to do and get the points on the board to put us in the playoffs.
Yeah. You've just said about the confidence there, but is that the same across the changing room as well?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Obviously, we're looking at the table and it's the tightest I've ever known it being. Yeah. Yeah, it's the first time we're looking at that side of the table. We were looking at the other side last year, so it's all new to us, but we're looking forward to the challenge.
I'm joined tonight, and congratulations again from the MPL show and winning supporters as well.
We move on now to the Young Player of the Year in the Premier Division. Premier Division, Young Player of the Year. From Matlock Town, Marcus.
So currently joined now by Mark Stanger, who won the Premier Division's Young Player of the Season this year. First of all, how does it feel to win the award, especially your first season in the MPL as well?
I wasn't really expecting it, because I wasn't expecting to be in the best 11. And getting the extra one, to be fair, it's great. I couldn't believe it, to be fair.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, week in, week out, you are getting applaudits off most of the pundits as well. So Swampy, Roy Sewell, who was sat on the table, obviously just trying out how great a player you are. Step forward this moment in time, looking to stay with Matlock for the moment, or?
Well, I'd just like to thank the managers for giving me a chance, because I would have been under 21s at Burton, and it's good to get game time and to do well, because Kirk and Upham are my managers. And right now I'm going to finish the season with them, and hopefully I can go higher next year if I go on loan. And to improve on.
And obviously, finally, still in the playoff race at the moment in the Premier, but obviously moving forward, obviously the aim will be the playoffs, but
well, we've got hard games in front of us. Well, if we get into the playoffs, and I think we can do it as a team, and I just need to get back to scoring again
week out.
And it's a challenge, but I reckon Matlock can do it.
Yeah. Oh, so John Restino, well done on your world tonight, man.
Cheers.
So on to our final award of the evening. And it goes to the Premier Division Player of the Year. And the winner is, from Blythe Spartans, Dan McGuire.
And a big congratulations to Dan McGuire at Blythe Spartans for winning this year's Player of the Year Awards. And a big thank you to James Hayes for gathering all of those interviews there. But that is the Player of the Year Awards. Coming up in the rest of the show, we're going to be looking ahead to all the fixtures in all three divisions of the Northern Premier League. But before that, it's now time to head over to Tuesday night to Prescott Cables, Hope Street, to find out all the results from Saturday afternoon. Over to you, Ben. So welcome everyone to Hope Street, the home of Prescott Cables, and we're here on Tuesday evening for Lancaster City's away trip to Prescott Cables. At the moment it's 0-0, and we're joined by Swampy and Roy Sewell. So from Barnsley to Prescott, and we hope you enjoyed all the interviews and awards there. Big thank you to everyone taking part in all the interviews, and thank you to James Hayes for being,
and a big thank you, I believe, for the apple crumble and custard, more importantly the very large Yorkshire puddings. So yeah. You know, MPL got it right, that's the way to go.
which you had seconds of, right, with me. So
yeah, certainly did. Yeah, it was worth it, wasn't it?
Anyway, so coming up in the show, what's up? Oh, the match.
Yes, Ben, it's always, it would be remiss of us not to be here at Prescott. And let's not also forget, one of the most beautiful old stands in football. It's reminiscent of Goodison Park, isn't it? One of the stands at Goodison Park. And also at Glasgow Rangers with that brick frontage. And it's really nice viewing platform up here. But yeah, game-wise, it's been an interesting counter. We've got a team who have been struggling all season. Look like them 3 points deduction.
They don't look like it, though, do they?
No, that's the point. That, you know, 3 points deduction, that was, you're thinking that they could go here. Great two last results they've had. 7-2 on Saturday against high-flying Glossop North End, playing Lancaster City, who are currently in second spot. And the Preston pressed Lancaster, not allowed them to play. It's 0-0, but it's an entertaining game. There's some good quality players out there on a tough surface as well. So hopefully we'll get some goals in the second half. But been interesting so far, and this will determine tonight, I think, could determine Prescott's season. If they get a point here or more, that's going to really, I think, cement their stature in this division this season.
We're going to be speaking to Tom Feeney, because he's at Fars Celtic tonight, from the Yorkshire Evening Post, to look ahead to all what's going on in Division 1 North. Plus, we've got Andrew Simpson coming up later for Division 1 South. But before that, we should talk about Saturday's results in the Premier Division. And a big congratulations to Blyth Spartans, worthy champions, been coming a long time now. We're going to hear from Alan Armstrong later in the show. They've done it in style, a nice 3-0 win at home to Hillsdale in town on Saturday.
Yes, they've had a quality season, and to be honest, I mean, they've even beaten the way it looks anyway, winning the league by more than 10 points. But the fact is, like, you know, all throughout the season, even though they had that little blip, they still had great belief in, you know, the way they play the football, and the fact is, like, you know, they are worthy champions.
Yeah, the calibre of the way they've won this division as well, you know, they're going to finish on over 100 points, you would think. They've already scored over 100 goals this season. For them, this season there's not been a huge amount of distractions in other competitions, and that might have helped them a little bit more this season, because obviously they've had good FA Cup runs in the past two or three seasons. This year it wasn't really to be. They got knocked out quite early on by their standards. And yeah, I mean, we talked, you and I actually, off air last week, to the guys at Spennymoor, and we talked about the resurgence of the North East, and does it actually spur you on? And I know when we did the NPL show last month, everyone was like, "No, we don't see." But the answer was clearly, yeah, we've seen what Blyth are doing, we've seen what South Shields are doing, we've seen what North Shields did last season in the FA Vars, and we've seen what Darlington are doing, and so on and so forth. And there's a massive resurgence up there this moment in time. And, you know, it can only bode well, including Workington as well. You know, there's some great teams out there all playing good football, and, you know, absolutely superb. And I'm really pleased for Blyth, because it's a great place to visit. It's a footballing town from a footballing part of the world, and they'll grace the Conference North next season. There's no question about that. The only downside for them, I suppose, is losing Armstrong himself, who's just signed a contract with Middlesbrough, which is brilliant for him.
It's another player from the NPL.
Of course, yeah, and you know, the guy's got quality, and you can see that Middlesbrough, you know, I've asked him to sign for them, and but there's a crop of players up there.
Congratulations as well, we should say, to Tom Wade, who also had a, you know, he put
all the foundations into it, and we actually, you know, we commented on that, you know, at the on the change, you know, when Armstrong took over, so, you know, all credit to him.
Saying, look at the moon over there, isn't it beautiful? So we're going to be speaking to Alan Armstrong in a second, but also we should say we've got Mark Carruthers coming up later, who's obviously got connections with Blyth. Anyway, Spennymoor are in second at the moment. Saw them last week, very, very impressive. Followed tremendous. That 4-0 win up with a 3-0 win, but then got beat away at Sutton Coldfield. The 3G pitch strikes again.
and also, you know, they've travelled from Spennymoor to Matlock. They have a home game, and then they've got to travel again. Three games in 5 days. It's the travelling. I think the travelling's taken it out of them more than anything there, really. I mean, I would have thought, probably the way they are this stage of the season, if they've been out of play maybe that game on a Friday, let's say on the Thursday, playing Matlock away, they would have stayed down that neck of the woods and then gone on the Saturday to Sutton Coldfield. It wasn't to be, and a great result for Sutton Coldfield. I mean, you know, and we said it
3 points
countless times, haven't we, they're going to be instrumental, and Tigot especially was saying they're going to be instrumental in so many things this season towards the end of it, and it's certainly the case. I still feel, though, the real quality. I mean, I know they're on 77 points together with
Nantwich,
but I just see the real quality in that team from 1 to 11 and a great bench as well.
That's at time of recording, obviously.
Just raise your eyes to me.
No, I was saying, let me just get in there before you carry on. They are away at Skem tonight as well, so they might not be on 77 points when the show goes out, but we only know what's in front of us.
Exactly, Ben.
Nantwich are in third at time of recording. They're on 77 points. I think Spennymoor and Nantwich, they've got a 5-point gap now, at least, to sixth place Whitby Town. They did that with a 3-2 win against Ashton United. I think they're definitely there now. There's not enough games left, is there, for Whitby to drag them in, or anyone else to drag them in?
No, I can't see it again. Nantwich, we've seen them. Good quality footballing team. Big result against Ashton, that, because Ashton have come there to battle and work hard, yeah, as they always do. So, you know, fair dues, they've got the 3 points, and that's what you want at this stage of the season. And I think they, and again, I think they've deserved it for the quality of football, and also they've had a good FA trophy run. So they've played a lot of games this season. They'll miss JJ, who's gone back to Salford City, because he was scoring goals for them. But they've kicked on, and I think they're one of the teams that are going to stay up there, no question.
And Stourbridge are the other ones who at the NPL show a couple of weeks ago, we were saying in the players using Roy Sewell's logic. They got a handy 2-1 away win at Ilkeston. Sees them on 76 points at time of recording. That's 4 points clear in the playoffs. Again, there's not too many games left now for anyone to drag them out of those playoff positions.
That's always been my bone of contention. All the factors, like, you know, the games totals for all these teams that have been in and around, and you know, that was my reason for saying that Warrington wouldn't be in the playoffs. Like, you know, that one and that one alone. I think the one that to look for, you know, to maybe get into that last spot is going to be Whitby Town. Whitby.
Whitby.
You were going to say Whitby.
Yeah. I'm sticking by my guns. I still think Whitby's going to be that one game.
Yeah, but I just feel that over these last three games, Whitby have really come into it, you know, and put a nice little run on. And it is all about, you know, the team that can string a couple of wins together, you know, in these last few games.
I think Workington have to win all the games with that game in hand that they've got. If they do that, you know, because even though they've had two really good results in recent weeks,
it's a big game tonight. They're playing Buxton.
They are, yeah. I mean, that's a huge game for both teams, you know. If Workington win tonight, I think
it's on.
Without a question of it, you know.
If Buxton win,
Buxton,
well, Buxton are in that fifth spot.
Yeah, exactly.
They beat Colville.
Yeah.
Obviously, Workington, they beat Barwell away. But Buxton, they're in that fifth position. If they win that, then...
Well, you know, Buxton, to be honest, I mean, again, we talk about it on the show. The chairman, you know, showed great confidence in Martin, you know, and his philosophy of his football by, you know, offering a little bit of injection of cash there, you know, to keep him up there. And, you know, it's worked. And that's, you know, that's what all you need off your chairman, you know, backing your manager when he needs that little bit of backing.
Just a quick, we know Buxton 2017-18 season, you'll have a 3G pitch. Now, there's a slope there, isn't there?
Mm.
Do you think...
They'll dig it out.
Do you think they won't want to continue with that slope to give them the advantage as you can? Like, you know, I think we'll keep the slope. No, maybe not. But no, they've done. You know, again, all these teams we've been talking about have done tremendously well this season. We've seen them all play. You know, we've seen pretty much every team play this season, and they've all been good games. They've all got something about them, something a little bit different. And that for me means it's still quite difficult. That fifth spot is still. I mean, tonight's results are pivotal for quite a number of teams, so you know, it's a pity we don't do this recording on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
Makes it a lot easier for us to make predictions, but you know, we'll see what happens at the end of the evening.
To be honest, on the Astro pitch, you know, if that's what they're going to have at Buxton, they could leave the slope and they could have all weather skiing, couldn't they? You know, because they could do it in the summer have the snow in the winter.
Just a mention for Colville. Obviously, they got beat at the weekend by Buxton, but now they're mathematically safe. So, congratulations to Tommy Brookbanks and everyone at Colville. First season at this level, cracking job this year.
Good job, and you know, Tommy's done a very, very good job there. It's testament to their work and the hard amount of work that they're putting to stay in the division, because, as we know, it's a very, very tough division, and bigger and, for want of a better word, better teams have come and gone out of this division, and testament to Tommy and his team there, so well done.
Now, there's a few teams obviously still in this. Matlock Town, they beat Hensford 2-0 away from home. Grantham got a very good 2-1 win at home to Rushall Olympic. However, Warrington got beat by Stafford Rangers, and it's one of them things, isn't it? It's,
yeah, it is.
Not enough time left, I don't think, for
the fact was, like, you know, and like I say, this was my reasoning. Warrington had to win every game. I didn't think that was they would be capable of doing that, you know. So, you know, hard lines to Warrington, and talked with Toby as well at the Players Award, and you know, we had a good chat, and well done Warrington for that little burst.
And just to mention down the bottom, obviously we're going to be speaking to John Dunham at the Northants Telegraph to talk about the Gary Mills situation. Obviously, you know, Frickley got beat by Skem. Congratulations to Skem. It was a big game, that one, after last week's events at Stormy Corner. Funny with being at Prescott Cables as well the week after. Sutton Coldfield winning. It's a weird time to do it, but you said something interesting to me in the car on the way over here.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think they've done it out of desperation more than anything, thinking if they can get a change in the players' attitude for the last three or four games in the running. Whether they can or not, it's the assistant manager that's come in, so he's been with them anyway all the way through. Mills have done a great job to get them out of the problem they originally got themselves into.
Well, get them into a position where they were possibly going to survive.
And there's a five games on the bounce where they haven't really got anything out of it, and they made a decision. Whether that's the right one, only time will tell. But no, I mean, for them to go down two divisions as Hyde did, but the thing is, one thing you can look at is Hyde this season,
as Drolston did,
but Hyde and Colwyn Bay
and Stafford,
there is like the end of the tunnel. You can come back into this division, no question, but it's going to be tough for them. And I wish them all the well, because we were all so pleased how well they'd done and continue the winning and winning, going from nothing to where they were. It might be too late, we'll see, but perhaps the players have to take some responsibility as well.
It's down to the players all the way through, isn't it? You know, at the end of the day, you know, once the players go across that white line, you know, you're in their hands. The thing is, you know,
Is it odd though? I mean, they're about to start second half, but is it odd? Because Frickley are now, they're 4 points from safety now, and they did that roll of the dice thing, and it's not really worked for them, has it? And do you reckon it could work for Corby?
Difficult, isn't it?
Who knows? I mean, you know, again, it's going to be very difficult. I mean, Frickley, I mean, you use that example. If I was a chairman looking at the teams in and around me and I seen what Frickley had done, I said, well, they've actually, it's not supposed to help them. You know, stick with the person that's got you to obviously where you are, perhaps. But listen, there's reasons for it, and I'm sure with the interviews and that are coming out over the week, we'll find out a little bit more of the reason why.
And lastly, Marine 1, Mickleover Sports 3. And that concludes the fixture.
Be careful then. Say well done to all, to Mickleover. You know, and it's a good result for them. Marine, you know, they're safe this season. They'll move to the next season, and that's all you can say, really. It's not a great deal else, apart from you are Martin Doyle.
And so that's it. And a big thank you to Swampy and Roy, but from everyone here at Hope Street, it's back over to the studio. So welcome back to the studio. A big thank you there to Prescott Cables for their wonderful hospitality on Tuesday evening. It finished 2-0 to Prescott Cables. And later in the show, we'll be speaking to Thomas Feeney from the Yorkshire Evening Post for more on Division 1 North and where that leaves Lancaster City in the title race with Fazzy Celtic. And more on that later in the show. That was Prescott Cables v Lancaster City from Tuesday night. But what about the Premier Division matches which took place on Tuesday evening? Just to give you a roundup of the results from Tuesday night. Starting with, well, the most pivotal, really, Workington 2, Buxton 0, a result that sees Buxton drop out of the playoff positions now. 1 point off the playoffs now. Workington up to 8th, 2 points from the playoffs. And they have a game in hand as well, we should add. Moving into the playoffs was Whitby Town. They beat Mickleover Sports by 1-0, sees them into the playoffs in 5th position, 1 point now behind Stourbridge and 2 points behind Nantwich Town, who do have a game in hand. Elsewhere in the playoff push, Colville Town 1, Grantham Town 2 was a full-time result. Sees Grantham Town into 7th position. They too, like Workington, are 2 points from the playoff positions.
and a bit higher up than that in the playoff race, Spennymoor Town went to Stormy Corner on Tuesday evening and won by 2-0. Not worked out the maths, but I'm pretty sure that really does cement them in the playoffs this season. I think they still mathematically could drop out, but they're on 80 points, 6 points clear now of sixth place Buxton. Spennymoor Town now in second position, 14 points behind champions now, Blyth Spartans, and 3 points ahead of Nantwich Town, who are in third. Elsewhere, an Ashton United 2, Stafford Rangers 1 was a full-time score in mid-table land. Rush Olympic 1, Marine 1, and Ilkeston 0, Hills Owen Town 0. So, enough about the past, though. It's now time to look ahead to Saturday's fixtures in the NPL Premier Division. And joining me now at a metro station somewhere in the northeast, it's Mark Carruthers from the Non-League Daily. Hello, Mark. How are you?
Hi there. Not too bad. Not too bad at all.
Oh, this is like the old days of when I used to interview James Hayes at Ashton Underline bus station. This is good. Anyway, welcome to the show, Mark. Obviously, we should really start with Blyth Spartans. You've done a piece on your TV show up there about Blyth Spartans' success this season and that 3-0 win against Hales Owen. A cracking effort by everyone associated with the club.
It is, yeah. I think it's a reward for the consistency, for the way they've bounced back from what have been quite rare defeats. I think there was a bit of praise on the last show for Alan Armstrong, the way he's kind of just helped them move on from Tom and built on Tom's work, which Alan did praise Tom as well, which was good to see for the role that Tom played in the club's progression over the last few years. But he's just kept things going. The momentum's built throughout the season, and they are worthy champions. You know, they are miles ahead of anyone. They have performed consistently even, and a number of players are over or close to 20 goals, which shows that they're, you know, great going forward defensively. They've been sound, and it's good foundations for hopefully a good season next season in the National League North.
Well, you mentioned Alan Armstrong there. On Wednesday, I caught up with Alan, and let's hear what he had to say. So, a big congratulations to Blyth Spartans, and joining me now, it's one of the architects, it's the manager at Blyth Spartans, it's Alan Armstrong. Hello, Alan, how's things?
I'm recovering, Ben, which is great.
a big congratulations on behalf of the listeners, superb stuff. How does it feel now you've had more or less a week for it to all sink in?
It's great. It was probably last night when I was watching the scores coming in, and we didn't have to worry about it. It was when it really starts sinking in, and you're just thinking, I'm just so pleased that it's done. Because once we went on that run, everyone was saying, oh, you've won it. But it's never over until you get the points, and I've got to give the lads full credit that they've done exactly what was required. It stayed professional after a couple of blips, and I think we won the canter now.
I think you have. I mean, Berkey said on the NPL show a while ago, Blyth are going to win it by 10 points, and it's looking like it might be more than 10, to be honest. But going back to that first interview you and I did back in late September when Tom Wade stepped down from the management post, the aim has always been for Blyth Spartans to get promoted this season, but it is easier said than done. But how difficult was that period for the club and picking everyone up and moving the club forward the way you have done?
To be honest with you, it was probably more difficult than what I thought it was going to be, because I'd seen the players previous, so I knew what we had. But obviously I changed things, the way we played, the style of play, that to buy into the things that we'd done, the things we wanted, the training regime changed a little bit. And we worked at a lot more higher intensity, and it was difficult to get there. But eventually, once we got there, then the lads seen how the results coming in. It always helps when you're winning. The results are coming in, week out, and they bought into everything we've done. And once we've done that, I think there was no stopping us after that.
And one of the things that, you know, when I spoke to Mark Carruthers and other people up in the northeast, one of the people that often gets credited with this as well, who put a lot of work in previous seasons, is obviously Tom. I know he's a friend of yours, but he must be pleased as well with what's gone on at the club this past 8 months or so.
Yeah, I'm sure Tom is. I spoke to him on Saturday to invite him to the game, but he didn't want to. He said he'd rather just leave it for the lads and myself, which, that just sums Tom up, just passing it on to others. But what he'd done for the football club in the previous 4 years was outstanding, and it got it onto the, the way it is now. And I think he recognised the fact that it needed someone else to come in to move it on again. And for someone to do that, you've got to give the bloke full credit to realise that he's took it as far as he could and he needed to bring someone in. And fortunately, he ended up bringing me in. And it was my first managerial post, so it was a bit of a gamble, but I had confidence in my ability that I would get what was required. But no, you've got to thank Tom for what he's done for that football club. And I still speak to him now and again, still looking for players, getting information off him on players. So he's still helping there.
Excellent stuff. And just a mention then for next season, you probably not even thought about this, but you're walking a path which a few teams have walked into National League North. Darlington, obviously, last season, FC United the season before that, Curzon, as well as the likes of AFC Fylde and Chorley. What are your expectations going into the National League North? Because you've got to be infused by what Darlington have achieved in the level above.
Definitely, you've got to use Dalton as a blueprint, but I think Dalton's just probably a bit more than what supplies is at this current time. We've just got to make sure that we get in there and compete and stay in there for a couple of years and then see where we are still at. We're not expecting to go in and blow people away like we have done this year. It's going to be a lot more difficult. There's some good players in that league and there's some good teams, like, and good fan bases. So it's going to be tough, but I think the squad I've got, the players I've brought in as well, they've come from even higher than the league above, so I brought league players in that can potentially move on again. So that's what the way we've been building, and hopefully now we've moved up, we can attract even more players to strengthen the squad, which is what we'll need.
Absolutely. And while I've got you on, obviously your son's moved to Middlesbrough. You must be dead pleased with that move that Luke's made.
Yeah, I'm chuffed a bit for the kid, because it's difficult when you've got your son in your own team, because people just thinking that you're picking him because he's his son. But Luke proved to be totally different. He's scored 23, 24 goals this year, and he's come on leaps and bounds. And when he left Middlesbrough, he's so underdeveloped. He's just a really young kid. He's a late developer, and this year I've just seen a huge improvement in him. But what I like about him is he's stuck in. He went to Birmingham, he moved away from home, and he's went up to Cowden. He's just trying to stay in the game, and he's ended up out the league. But eventually, it's so funny that he's come out the league and he's ended up getting back into the league straight away. So, but you've got to give people like that full credit, because obviously we're extremely hard, not just on the pitch, but off the pitch, and you get rewards for that.
Well, Alan, a big congratulations from everyone here at the MPL show to everyone connected with Blyth Spartans. I do have to let you know, though, that the quality of podcast in the National League North is unfortunately not as good as it is at the MPL. So it's your loss, mate. It's your loss.
No problem,
but. But congratulations, mate, and enjoy the rest of the season. So a big thank you there to manager at Blyth Spartans, Alan Armstrong, and hopefully Blyth Spartans will never come back. But there's still a couple of matches still left to go for Blyth Spartans, and one of those matches is this weekend against Ashton United. And it's a weird one now. I feel like, I didn't ask Alan this, but I feel like that getting to 100 points, it's one of them things, and it's like a symbol of any successful season.
Yeah, and from what I was told at Blyth on Saturday when I was at the game, that they are targeting 100 points. They do want to, you know, that is the last landmark to hit the season. They wanted 100 goals. They've done that. They're on 103 now, I think. And they want to get to 100 points. And you wouldn't rule it out, to be honest. It's a tough game at Ashton. You know, it's a great place to visit. One of my favourite clubs in the Evo Stick. I don't mind saying that. But I think Blyth will get the win now. There may be a few changes. I don't know. They have got a cup final coming up in the Northumberland Senior Cup final. So Alan may rotate. It's always a tough game down at Ashton, but I think Spartans might stink that 1-2-1.
Now, trying to chase them down to prove Berkey wrong that Blyth Spartans aren't going to win the league by 10 points. Spennymoor Town. Now, Spennymoor Town, I think we could safely say, I mean, I mentioned it there, I think they're in the playoffs now. I don't think they're going to drop out of the playoffs. They're hosting Rushall Olympic this weekend, and this weekend's a good chance to seal the deal and seal home advantage for that first semi-final at least.
Yeah, well, that's the key thing now for Spennymoor. You know, they want to finish second, so, you know, they do get the home game in the semi-final. And, of course, if they are successful in that, they will get a home game in the final as well. The way the Brewery Field is, obviously, it's got a slope that works to their advantage. They, they enjoy apparently kicking up the slope second half. I found that out the other week, which seems a bit curious. But no, I think Spenny, we shouldn't forget it is the first season at this level. They only came up last year, and they have invested wisely in experienced players. They were always going to be a force. They've maybe just had a little dip throughout the season at the wrong times, but I would make them favourites for the playoffs.
Now, in third position, we've got Nantwich, and it's still touch and go for Nantwich. I'm quite surprised at this, but it goes to show you how close it is at the minute. They're 3 points into the playoffs, with Buxton, Grantham and Workington all lurking there in the background. For Nantwich Town, they've got Ilkeston on Saturday, and then they've got a really big fixture on Bank Holiday Monday where they host Workington. It's pivotal times this now for Phil Parkinson's side.
It is, but what I would say about Nantwich over the last two seasons, maybe longer, is when it comes to big games, you know, when it has been cup games, for example, which it feels like these are now, they've always performed in the big games, and I think it'll be no different this weekend. Ilkeston, you know, they are down. It's worrying times for them. I can see Nantwich winning that, but Monday is huge. It's a huge game against Workington. I fancy Nantwich at home to sneak that one, and I think it'll be a reward because Phil's done a great job there. He's carried on from where the previous manager left off. He's put together a very attacking side, a very entertaining side, and it'll be a nice reward for them to get into the playoffs as well.
Now, we'll get to Frickley Athletic and the relegation picture shortly, but this weekend, Frickley Athletic are travelling to Stourbridge. Stourbridge in fourth position, 2 points in the playoff positions. Very, very tense times this for Stourbridge, I have to say. And Stourbridge then next on Bank Holiday Monday travel just a short distance across town to play Rush Olympics. So it's these are cup finals now. Cliche, Claxon.
It is, yeah. And, you know, it's almost as if the fixture computer is known, isn't it? They've thrown these fixtures together. They're all going to be great games. And Stourbridge, another one. Let's not forget what they've done this season in the FA Cup. They've done the Evo Stick proud. Another club you would think deserves to be in the playoffs, but. You don't always get what you deserve, do you?
Now, I think it might be a bridge too far now for Warrington Town. They had a good march, but I think they've got too many points to make up in a short space of time. They're travelling to Whitby Town this week, and this could. I know Whitby Town's in the North Yorkshire, not really the North East, but this could be a very, very important season for North East football, the way things are going with Spennymoor and Blyth, obviously. Whitby Town, they're there now. They're in fifth position. Can they stay there? This is a big game on Saturday against Warrington, and they follow that up with a trip to Blyth Spartans on Bank Holiday Monday.
And I don't think the last few times I've been on, I haven't made any secret of my admiration for the work done at Whitby. They've been incredible this season. Chris Hardy, again, I keep saying this, but he's done a fine job there. Brought in some very good players from the Northern League, which is where his market has to be. The vast majority of his transfer work has to be done in the Northern League. Whitby, for me, it's the home form's key. It's a cliche again, isn't it? But their home form at the Turnbull has been good. It's away from home where they have faltered. But I think, again, it is a big game, but I can see Whitby win that one.
Workington, they've got to take on Hales Owen Town on Saturday. Workington, they're the ones to watch. They're the ones with the game in hand. And if they win that game in hand, then they're in the playoffs. And obviously, we mentioned that Bank Holiday derby match between Nantwich Town and Workington as well. So there you go. Workington, Swampy will tell you that Workington are his dark horses to get that fifth spot. What do you think?
Again, they're in form, they're confident, and you wouldn't rule it out.
Now then, game of the weekend, though. Game of the weekend, by a country mile, I'm going to suggest, is this one here. Buxton against Grantham Town. This one is, it's do or die, isn't it, for both sides. If it's a draw, then this carries on for another week, but whoever wins this, if somebody wins this, they really do have a good chance of knocking the other team out of the playoff race.
They do, yeah. It is very much a winner-takes-all if someone does win it, of course. It's a big game. Grantham, one of the stories of the season for me, the progression made there this season. with a young squad as well. They've got foundations in place where even if they don't make the playoffs this season, you wouldn't rule them out having a good season again next year.
Absolutely. And for Buxton on Monday, they've got the small matter of Matlock Town coming to visit. I reckon, like Warrington, I think Matlock might have fizzled out for Matlock now, I think. What do you think?
Yeah, I think I saw one of the managers, Glenn Kirkwood, saying today that even if they win all three of their games, that it could still not be enough, and I think I'll probably go along with that.
Now, let's go down towards the bottom end of the table. As we said, commiserations to Wilkeston. Obviously, commiserations as well to Skelmersdale United. Both now have an R next to the name. However, a bit higher up, it's all to play for, really. But only just Frickley Athletic hanging on by the fingernails at the moment, it feels. Frickley, obviously, have got that Stourbridge match on Saturday. Bank Holiday Monday. They've got Spennymoor coming to town. That's a tough set of fixtures, that, for Frickley. And, well, if they don't get anything out of those two matches, then they are relegated.
Yeah, well, we talk about Frickley every year when it comes to the relegation at this time of year, but they always seem to escape, don't they, somehow. But I think this year it could just be one step too far. What I would like to say, just in terms of Skelmersdale and Ilkeston, it is very sad to see them go, and, you know, the clubs have got more pressing matters than a relegation. Let's hope that, you know, there is a club to talk about next year with both of them, that they can move on from what's been a pretty dark season for both clubs. But in terms of Frickley, I just think this is a step too far. Two very tough fixtures over the weekend, and you wouldn't be shocked to see them come out of it with no points.
And well, let's talk about Corby Town. Now, obviously, Corby Town have had a managerial change in the past week. And on Wednesday, I caught up with John Dunham from the North Ants Telegraph to hear his views on the matters that are going on at Corby Town at the moment. So, welcome back to the show, John Dunham from the North Ants Telegraph. Hello, John. How's things?
Yeah, all right, Ben. Yeah, not bad. It's been a bit hectic, but yeah, not bad.
Yeah, so a couple of weeks ago, obviously, we had Tom Feeney on to talk about it was a surprise departure at the time at Frickley Athletic. This sit at Corby seems right out the blue with only three games left of the season.
Yeah, I think that's what everyone thinks. That was certainly my feeling when I heard the news. If we cast our minds back to when Gary Mills first arrived, the situation was perilous, and that continued for a little while, and then they turned it around at the start of the year with a brilliant run of one defeat and 11 or something like that, I think it was, that gave him a chance of staying up when all hope looked lost. So, you know, they were poor on Saturday, and there was obviously a reaction to that. So yeah, I think the timing element of it took everyone by surprise. I certainly expected him to stay and see it through and see if he could keep them up.
It's an odd one. I mean, you speak about Saturday's result. Obviously, Whitby Town coming it's not a gimme, is it? I think the problem might be what happened at Sutton Coldfield when they surprisingly beat Spennymoor and have opened up a 3-point gap now to Corby. There aren't many games left. Do you reckon the thinking might be, let's see if we can get a new manager bounce in place for these last three games of the season?
I'm sure that was part of it. Definitely, you know, you hope that if you change the manager, the players might just react a little bit differently, and maybe, you know, just give that little bit extra. And, you know, they played last night. Played on Tuesday night against Ketchum in the Hillier Cup final, the County Cup final down here, and they played very well, Corby, for 75 to 80 minutes. They were far the better team. They were 1-0 up, and then they conceded one late on. And then they lost on penalties, which you know, you can't do much about. But overall, they played really, really well. So that bodes well. But like you say, last Saturday was such a crucial day, I think, because they, as you know, Whitby are a decent side. Don't get me wrong about that. I was impressed by them. I thought they were very good. But Corby were particularly poor. And then with what happened, like you say, at Sutton Coldfield, it's left them with a big job to do, especially when you look at the remaining fixtures and you see that Sutton Coldfield have got two home games over Easter on their 3G pitch, where they've been so good this season. And you know, you're looking at it and you're thinking, well, Corby are going to have to win two games. And judging by last Saturday's performance, I wasn't even sure where a draw was going to come from, let alone 3 points. So, but you know, Tuesday night offers hope, because they were very good, and they've got to go to Stafford on Saturday, and hopefully this bounce, you know, this new manager bounce will continue and they'll get a result because they desperately need one.
And then on Monday they've got Grantham, and I think Grantham Town, that's a bit more tricky. But then the last game of the season's away at Colville, and it's not totally insurmountable, and the goal difference is at the moment in Corby's favour.
Yeah. The point is, Ben, that they've got to take it to the last day. They've got to find a way to take it to the last day. That's what they've got to do. And then what will be on the final day. What they don't want to do is get beaten at Stafford and then it's all over on Easter Monday. They've really got to try and find a way to take it to that last day if they can, and hope then that someone else cracks under the pressure. You know, so it's going to be interesting. They've got to, without any question, they've got to get something from Stafford on Saturday. Even, you know, even maybe a point might be enough. You know, Sutton Coldfield playing Matlock at home. Matlock are quite decent, so you'd hope that they might have a chance of getting a result there. So, yeah, like I say, Stafford on Saturday is huge, as are the last three games of the season for them. It's, I don't know, I wouldn't like to call it, but you know, obviously from our point of view down here, we're hopeful that they'll find the points they need, but I think they're going to need at least 4 points, probably, you know, probably more likely 6 to stay up now.
And just finally, John, just while we've got you on, we've got Division 1 South coming up later in the show with Andrew Simpson. Just a quick mention for Rushden and Diamonds. Obviously, there was a bit of a slip-up this week against Stocksbridge Park Steels, but we've been mentioning this now for the last month or so, that it's probably top eight now, isn't it? Is very, very close. Rushden and Diamonds is still in this. They've got a tough test, though, this weekend at home to Newcastle Town, but it is an opportunity to knock one of the competitors out this weekend for Rushden and Diamonds.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Diamonds' form over the last few weeks, and it's not been great. You know, they've gone from being in a really good position to sort of being a bit in and out. They had a great win at Leek last weekend in the last minute, and then they've gone into Tuesday night, and you know, Stocksbridge are absolutely flying, aren't they? I mean, and if you look at their running, you'd fancy them to take one of the places. If we assume, obviously, Witten and Spalding, you know, I think after Tuesday night, I think Shore Lane will win the title now, but Witten and Spalding are safely in there, so the others are up for grabs. The key game is this Saturday, without a doubt, because Bafford don't play, so it's the game in hand for everyone else on them. And for Diamonds and Newcastle, who have both been a bit in and out as far as form goes recently, it's the killer game. It's the must win for both of them. A draw, I don't think, does either of them any favour. Whoever loses, I think, will miss out. Whoever wins will give themselves a big chance. So it's a massive game, and I will. I'm very much looking forward to it.
So it's definitely all happening in John Dunne's patch.
It's always all happening down here.
How are Kettering getting on? Where are they?
They're on the beach.
Yeah, no chance. Okay. Well, anyway, it's all happening for two of the three sides that John Dunne covers. So where's the best place to keep abreast of everything that's going on in that Northamptonshire world of non-league football?
We've got our paper, which is the Northampton Telegraph, which comes out every Thursday. But for those of you further up north, I think the website www.northamptontelegraph.co.uk. You can find absolutely everything you want on there about our teams down here, and you can follow me on Twitter at John Dunham NT for all the updates as we go along. So. Yeah, looking forward to the last week of the season. And maybe, hopefully, something a bit after for Rushden and Diamonds with a bit of luck.
So a big thank you there to John Dunham. And as I said, we were speaking there about Rushden and Diamonds, and we'll be covering Division 1 South off later on in the show. But Mark Rovers is still with me from Non-League Daily. For Sutton Coldfield on Saturday, they're hosting Matlock Town. And then on Monday, Sutton Coldfield are hosting Hills Owen Town. And, you know, home advantage for Sutton Coldfield is proving to, as Spennymoor found out, it's proving to be very, very important for Sutton Coldfield in this fight for survival this year.
It is. I think I'm right in saying that. Have they beaten the top three at home or top four at home? I know that obviously the beat Spartans come back from 2-0 down. They beat Spennymoor last week, and it is working in their favour, isn't it? They know how to play that pitch better than anyone.
Just to cover off some of the other matches taking place, Cole Villa hosting Skelmersdale United, Marina hosting Hensford Town, Mickleover over Sports against Barwell, and that's it for Saturday. And on Bank Holiday Monday, some of the matches we've not mentioned, Barwell against Colville, and I'm just freestyling at this point, Hensford against Stafford Rangers, and Skelmersdale against Marine, and Warrington Town against Ashton United. Those are the remaining fixtures we've not mentioned there. Any other highlights going into this final week of the season for you, Mark?
Yeah, I think there's a player in the league who has kind of escaped a few people's attention. I don't think he made the Premier Division team of the year, but Brady Hickey at Barwell, I think, has had a great season. He's captain in Barwell now, and I can see him going higher in the near future. Jimmy Ginelli's done a great job with him.
Well, Mark Carruthers from the Non-League Daily, a big thank you for joining us at a metro station somewhere in the northeast. Just a quick plug for the Non-League Daily. Obviously, I think you're all over the Darlington story at the moment, as well as that video on Football Matters as well from the Blythe match at Hales Owen.
Yeah, and just to say as well, we've got obviously Non-League Finals Day coming up. On the 21st of May, we are releasing a digital magazine which has been supported by the FA and Buildbase, which will focus on all four clubs taking part. That's getting released in 2 weeks' time, so keep an eye out for that one.
Excellent stuff.
And it's free.
Oh, that's the most important thing. Well, Mark Carruthers, a big thank you for joining us. I don't know if there's enough time in the season to have you back on or not, but hopefully this isn't the end. But if it is the end, Mark, a big thank you for joining us throughout this season. It's been much appreciated. Keep up the good work flying the flag for non-league football, and we'll be hearing from you soon. So that was the NPL Premier Division. Let's now turn to Division 1 Corner. And last week we started with Division 1 South. So, of course, this week we've got to start with Division 1 North. And happily, I can report that joining us for... Is this your second week on the trot or third? I think it might be your third, actually. Second.
I think it's second. We'll go with second. It might be third, though.
Here he is, Tom Feeney from the Yorkshire Evening Post. Hello, Tom. How are you?
I'm not too bad, thank you, mate. How are you?
I'm all good. So, earlier in the show, listeners might be aware that we went to Prescott Cables against Lancaster City, and the after-you-clawed nature of the Division 1 North title race continued. Prescott Cables winning by 2-0 over Lancaster City. Sees Farsley Celtic, who were in County Cup action, I think, weren't they, on midweek, sees them stay top of the league by 1 point.
Yeah, it were very interesting. I was at the Farsley Celtic v Tadcaster Albion game for the West Riding County Cup, and it went to penalties. It was a very good game, and I think it was actually quite an indication of where Tadcaster could be next season, because they put in a really good performance, really impressive. But the big thing was Farsley Celtic, they won, lifted the trophy, and you know, there was a sense of joy that that had happened. But then it filtered through that Lancaster had lost, and I think if you were going to say on a happiness rating of 10 that winning the West Riding County Cup, it was like a 6 or 7. What happened at Lancaster, I think it was an 11. You know, they were absolutely delighted, because what this does is it puts it firmly in Farsley Celtic's hands. Now they win their last three games, they go up automatically. It's as simple as that.
So this weekend for Farsley, they're travelling to Colwyn Bay. It is a long way to go for Farsley Celtic this weekend.
Yeah, it most certainly is. I think the only thing with Farsley is, you know, I spoke to the captain, Aaron Hardy, last night, and he just said, we're in such a mentality now where we're not going to underestimate anyone. We are taking the Colwyn Bay game so, so seriously. And I think that is the only thing, is obviously when you're in a division like this, you're not expecting to travel that kind of distance. So whether that has any effect or not, I'm not too sure, because last night Lamin Colley came back. I think that's a massive boost for Farsley, with James Walshaw unavailable until the last game of the season due to a red card. It means that they've got another option going up front. So it's been a very positive few days for Farsley Celtic. They've just got to keep that going, though, because they know if they do slip up, Lancaster will catch them up. You know, it does seem to me like this, even if, you know, they both all win, I still think this is going down to the last day, and it's going to be high drama.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm right in saying the last game of the season for Farsley is going to be Kendal away. There's easier places to go to, certainly. And obviously before that, there's the Ossett Town match as well. For Lancaster, it was a weird performance on Tuesday night. It looked like Prescott Cables were the ones who were title challengers. Prescott didn't look like the team who are currently fifth bottom in the league. It was a weird performance, that one. It'd be interesting for Lancaster City. They've got to travel to Manchester to take on Drolsden, and Drolsden play quality football, and the pitch is very similar to what they had to deal with at Prescott Cables, and it'll be interesting to see what happens with Lancaster City this weekend.
It most certainly will, and I think the thing for Drolsden is, you know, I've seen them play a few times, and kind of the way they play sometimes, it's a bit shocking that they're not actually a little bit higher up in the table. You know, they do like to play quite a nice attacking style. They've got some decent forward players there as well. So, look, I think the big thing here is, you know, there really doesn't seem to be an easy game in this division. You know, in certain years you'd look and pick out a team and go, do you know what? That is a banker. That's going to be 3 points guaranteed. But this season, it does just seem every week you're looking at the results and thinking, right, that's a shock. That wasn't meant to happen. You know, so both teams, you know, they've just got to keep this run going. The only thing is, for Farsley, it's been made clear to me by Neil Parsley, their joint manager, that, you know, they've got a 20-goal advantage on Lancaster. And what that means is they can lose a game, Lancaster draw a game, and Farsley stay in the, you know, top space. So that could be crucial come the end of the season.
Absolutely. Now, that's the title race, and obviously we'll keep abreast of it over the next 3 weeks or so. But there is now a seven-team shootout now for the playoff positions. Cone, Trafford, Ossett Town, Glossop North End, Scarborough Athletic, Clitheroe, and yes, I'm even going to include Brighouse Town, all separated by 6 points going in to the last month of the season. This weekend, probably game of the weekend, Glossop North End against Cone. That's third against sixth. They're separated by 2 points. Boom. Proper good game of football there. Guaranteed, I reckon. Clitheroe have got Ossett Albion. Bamber Bridge, they're hosting Scarborough Athletic. Ossett Town, they've got the aforementioned Prescott Cables. Brighouse Town are travelling to Radcliffe Borough. All these games matter this weekend. I don't want to ask you where's your money at the moment, Tom, because I don't think you could say, could you really?
I could give it a shot.
Go on then.
Whether I'm right or not, I don't know, because, you know, I looked at Brighouse a few weeks ago, and that, you know, actually last week I spoke about how they were drawing so often. Well, they've started winning now, and all of a sudden, you know, what they've gone is the mentality is, if a team draws 4 games in a row, you go, right, well, they're 4 games without a win. But once they throw a few wins in there, you know, all of a sudden you're thinking, hang on, they're 6 unbeaten. You know, that kind of is like the mentality that they have now. And, you know, it is incredible just how many teams are in this come the end. But I think if I was to put money in the four now, and I don't want to be quoted on it, even though I'm on the radio, so I suppose I'm going to be, but I'd say Colne will stay in because they've been on a fantastic run of form. Stephen Cunningham's got his team playing some great football as well. I think Trafford have got enough. And then I'd say Ossett Town, because I think they'll win at the weekend. And then if they get anything against Farsley, if they don't, it puts them in an awkward position. So I'd say I think Ossett Town will win 2 of the last 3. So I think that'll be enough. And then I think it will be Scarborough. I think Glossop North End will just miss out. But again, I could be completely wrong with all this. And it is just now, you know, it's a 3-game shootout for all these teams. For Trafford, it's a 2-game shootout. But it really is a thing. If you can just find form for 3 matches or 2 matches, you know, you get the playoff place. And it is just that, the situation now, so many teams involved. And I think Brighouse are the team that everybody's written them off up until now, really.
We did
even
last week.
Even when they were in the playoffs.
We did last week.
I mean, that's the thing, you know, because I looked at their fixture and I thought, well, you know, they're facing good teams who have got good defences. So it's a case of, can they break them down? And you've got to give Paul Quinside credit because, you know, on Saturday, one of the goals they scored was, I think it was about 50 yards out. It was an absolute wonder goal. So they've got that, you know, they've got that as well. So I just think this race is just so, it's so fascinating to watch, to be honest with you, because you keep thinking, right, one of these teams is going to slip up. But when one of them does, it's like everyone else does, you know, so it is just, it's going to go down to the wire. The question is, you know, right now, who's going to be in there? It really is just too close to call right now.
And in closing, Tom, as well, just a mention down the bottom end, it's a very important weekend for Ghoul. I think they could be mathematically relegated this weekend. Ghoul are taking on Ramsbottom United, whilst Kendall Town are hosting the team third from bottom, Mosley. It's been one of them seasons for Ghoul. It looked like the Great Escape was on a few weeks ago, but it's a tall order this now, isn't it, for Ghoul, I think.
Yeah, it's such a shame as well. They've got some really nice people there behind the scenes and also in the dugout as well. I think the thing for them is, you know, they've just been a bit. It's been a case that you've looked at the results and some of their performances, and you've just seen, you know, they're unlucky, right? They've missed out on a point in games where they've conceded late, and I think the big thing for them is it's the fact that the teams above them have just all of a sudden found, you know, this fantastic run of form. You know, Prescott Cable's been the one who, not that long ago, you know, I spoke to, you know, someone at Ghoul, and it was David Taylor, you know, the joint manager, and he was saying, our aim is to close Prescott Cable's down. That was before they went on this fantastic unbeaten run, which has, you know, taken them completely out of danger from it all. So I just think it is a real shame for Ghoul. The only thing I will say about Ghoul is, from what they've got in the dugout, from what they've got behind the scenes, I do think they've got what it takes to bounce straight back. That, you know, they're not panicking. And some teams, you look at them and you think, right, they're in trouble. If they go down, I don't think next season anything will really happen. And they might even be relegated again. I think with Ghoul, it's been very much a case of it's been work in progress anyway. And I think they'd keep a majority of the squad as well, because they seem to have a real good atmosphere there. So, well, it is a real shame, because I do enjoy watching Ghoul play. It just is a case of it's just a thing that the teams above them have just found form at the perfect time, and they've just had games where they've been a little bit unlucky and they've faced some of the top teams and it just hasn't gone their way.
But Tom Feeney, just before you go, just a quick mention for where people can keep abreast of everything that's going on in the non-league world of Yorkshire.
Yeah, if you want to check out the old Twitter account, it's at Thomas Feeney. I try my absolute best to not be biased, but honestly, right now, you know, I literally every Yorkshire side, I just want them to all do so well. So we'll see what happens.
And as always, I do try and balance Tom out. Lancaster City, go on, lads. Cone, well done. Trafford, yes. And Gloucester North End, keep up the good work. Oh, and Clitheroe, superb result on Tuesday. That's balanced out now, you see. All balanced. Well, thank you, Tom Feeney. And we'll be hearing from you next week.
Speak to you in a bit, mate.
So that's Division 1 North. But it's now time to finish the show. We've saved the best till last. Andrew Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian joins us now for Division 1 South Corner. Hello, Andy. How's things?
all right. It's a very exciting place to be, as it was last week. Still exciting.
Still exciting. we mentioned the results in Division 1 North on Tuesday night. I think the results in Division 1 South were more pivotal in a way. The head-to-head happened, Shaw Lane against Witton Albion. It finished 1-0. Very tight affair. And well, it's match point now, is it, for Shaw Lane, do you think?
Yes, I definitely think that. Shaw Lane avenged the defeat that they had at Witton in February. Arguably, this win is even more significant than that one, because it puts them 3 points clear. I would make a case for saying that, in effect, it's 4 points, because their goal difference is so good. That means definitely that it's match point. Witton Albion manager Carl McCauley agrees with that and said as much when I interviewed him after the game on Tuesday. To be fair to Carl, he was in a very dignified and classy mood and had no complaints about the result. Shaw Lane were definitely deserving winners on the night. They created more chances, scored a wonderful goal, by the way. It was a close game, it was a tight game, but Shaw Lane got the job done, and that's the most important thing. And with 3 games left, they're in a great position. I mean, and also, you know, Shaw Lane will be conscious they scored 94 points last year and didn't win the title. So they know they've got a little bit of work left to do. But if you look at their fixture list, they play Chasetown at home on Saturday, then go to Kidsgrove on Monday. They'll feel pretty good about that. And then on the horizon, they've got another home game to finish the season next weekend against Stamford. And this is a side, and Witten were conscious of this, that are unbeaten at home in the league this season. And in fact, I wrote a piece about this yesterday. If you go back, Shore Lane haven't lost a regular season home game since January 2016. So when you kind of put it in that context, you know, they are now overwhelming favourites to finish the job, albeit, yes, there's a little bit of work still left to do.
So, Simo, my question is, and it's one that I've had in my head since Tuesday night. Obviously, coming into this, Witten Albion have played a lot of games in a very short space of time. And we mentioned it last week on the Division 1 show a couple of weeks ago about the fatigue in the squad. Now, if you're Carl McCauley, and you know what I'm going to ask you, don't you? Can I ask you anyway, just for the listeners' benefit? I think they know what I'm going to ask. do you stick or do you twist one more time and in the vain hope? Or do you start resting the players now because of that fact that the team who are just pipped to the title are knackered by the end of the season and don't do well in that Tuesday night playoff semi-final?
This is a huge dilemma that he's got now, and I think it's a really good question. I didn't think they looked tired so much on Tuesday. That isn't the reason they lost the game. They're very much in the game. In fact, to be fair to the players, they gave everything. It just wasn't their night. It wasn't that there was a poor performance or anything like that. I felt last Saturday at Gresley, when obviously everybody was playing in warmer temperatures, they'd gone into that game on the back of playing on Thursday night against Spalding. I thought they did look tired against Spalding on the Thursday, and I did mention that in last week's show. It is linked to my previous answer. You look at Shore Lane's record, you have to, you know, are they realistically going to drop points in two of their last three games? Because that's what needs to happen if Witten are going to still win the league. Also, Witten needs to pick up 9 points, by the way, and I think Carl accepts that. He's got to think really carefully about this. Really have to reinforce it. It's an incredible effort to have made this into a title race because, again, to emphasise, they were absolutely nowhere. Even at the start of February, they were 14 points adrift of Shore Lane. It's an incredible turnaround to have gone up to Barnsley on Tuesday, still in with a realistic chance of winning the title. But you need to protect what you've got here. They're guaranteed to finish second. They're guaranteed to be in the playoffs. They're guaranteed to have home advantage in the promotion playoff semi-final. So, you know, the Witten are still in a really good position. They're not beating themselves up about losing on Tuesday. But now you look at it and go, OK, we've got a kind of 10-day, 14-day window here. We want to go into that game on that Tuesday. And I don't think they're going to know who their opponents are, by the way, until 5 o'clock on April the 22nd. We're going to touch on that in a minute. So it's hard to prepare who you're going to be up against. But, yeah, I, in a way, the most exciting... The most exciting thing about Saturday's game at home to Stamford may well be getting the team sheets, because he'll have to show his hand a little bit about what his thinking is. I mean, there is a little bit of a spanner in the works here for Witten on Monday.
Northwich.
They're playing Northwich. Now, that is a game that they will not want to lose, knackered or not, nothing to play for or not. Again, we'll come on to Northwich later. There's a lot riding on that game for Vicks, less so possibly for Witten if Shore Lane do win at the weekend. But Witten came very, very close to losing to Northwich on Boxing Day and scored in injury time to get an equaliser. They really didn't deserve to pick up a point like that. So they've got a little bit of a score to settle with Vic. So you look at it and go, well, really, he's going to go strong on Monday, surely, because he won't want to lose a derby. So that's a little bit of a problem for him as well. If it was me, and it's not me, I think I would be tempted to rest people as much as possible. And I know that's kind of maybe a little bit negative. You're kind of saying, yes, Shore Lane have won it. But I think it is advantage Shore Lane, as we've said. You know, they are in effect 4 points clear with three games left. So, yeah, it's fascinating. The other little thing in the mix here, it looks like Witten may well be setting a new record for points gathered by a team that's finished second in Division One South, which shows what a great season they've had. They need a couple more points to do that, but it looks like they're going to do that. I had a look yesterday in the history of Division 1 South, which is only 10...
Whoa,
which is only
what
10,
are you up to? Wait, go on.
which is only 10 years, but on only one occasion has the team that finished second won the playoffs. Wow. So that's kind of like, oh, God. So you have to be careful of how you manage this now.
Now then, Spalding, they're in third. No surprises there. They've been third since September. 0-0 on Tuesday against Basford United. Basford are in fourth. And then from fourth down to eighth, I'm going to suggest that. I think Leek Town have got far too much to do now in the remaining games of the season. We've got Basford United, Stocksbridge Park Steels, who beat Rushden Diamonds 2-0 midweek. Cracking result, that. Then you've got sixth place Rushden Diamonds, Lincoln United and Newcastle Town, with some big fixtures coming up this weekend involving all of them, essentially.
Yeah, it's, how exciting is this? Baseford have done all they can for now, but they have played one game more than the others. That's really important to point out. But they're unbeaten in six games. They're in good nick. They'll be feeling good. Their last two games of the season, away to Carlton, home to Newcastle. That's not bad. You'd probably sign up for that. Stocksbridge, I mean, they deserve so much credit. They've won seven of the past eight games. They've got themselves in a brilliant position. What a week they've had, by the way. They've gone to Lincoln and won 2-0, gone to Rushden and won 2-0. So this is done by winning tough games as well. I had a little look this morning at Chris Hilton's latest interview with the Sheffield Star. He said, we need to now finish the job. Now, this is the fascinating thing about Stocksbridge now. They are in a position now where they're weirdly going to be expected to finish in the top five. After coming from nowhere, suddenly you're looking at it and going, well, now, yeah, you should finish in the top five. You look at their fixture list. They've got Market Drayton at home and Chase Down away over Easter. Yeah, not bad. You know, and then Bedworth to finish the season. Three games against teams with nothing to play for. It's a dream running, if you like. So the dynamic has changed slightly, and now they're going to be expected to finish in the top five. I hope they do, because they deserve it for such a remarkable run that they've put together. So that's what's kind of unfolding around them. They're in good form. They should finish the job. Rushden, wow, I mean, what's happened at Rushden? They've had a wobble at the worst possible time. Four defeats in the past six. The one slither of hope for them, and Andy Peeps has reinforced this in the most recent interview that he's done with John at the Northamptonshire Telegraph. It's still in their hands. If they beat Newcastle on Saturday, they will go back into the playoff position. So it's not massively damaged for them, but unless they beat Newcastle on Saturday, they then need snookers. Lincoln, this is where you play the cliche klaxon, because Sam Wilkinson...
I'd never do that.
Sam Wilkinson has told his players in the Lincolnshire Echo that we've got three cup finals. Hooray. And that's
I love a good cup final.
Don't we all? Don't we all? Lincoln, you know, I still have to back that horse, because I have done since January. To be fair, they showed enormous character to come back from losing to Stocksbridge to beat Newcastle 2-0 on Tuesday night. They're still in a great position. They've got a little bit of a test in running. They go to Leek on Monday, but I think you're quite right. I think that game is less daunting than it was, because I think Leek season is over. They then play Spalding at home. I think Spalding season isn't over, but obviously they're now guaranteed to finish third, so there's less riding on games for them. So it's not too bad for Lincoln. And just to finish, Newcastle, oh dear, lost four of the past five. I think they need snookers. They also still have a really tough run in. Rushden away, Leek home in a derby, and Baseford away. Baseford is going to need the points, I suggest, on the last day of the season. I think Newcastle, I can't see them doing it now. I'm sorry, guys. So, yeah, I would say it's between Baseford, Stocksbridge, Rushden and Lincoln. But I wouldn't... It's so close. Brilliant entertainment.
Absolutely. And down the bottom end... as James Richardson would say, woof, what's gone on here? You close your eyes and suddenly the relegation battles, it's back on again. It's a three-horse race to avoid those two relegation spots. Superb stuff from all three of them.
It's been gloriously bonkers, hasn't it? I mean, we sat here last week saying rugby, almost job done, Loughborough at home, thank you very much, you've just beaten Vicks, great position, finish it off. And then it all completely unravels. The inexplicable home defeat to Loughborough dragged rugby right back into it. Loughborough then followed that up with a remarkable 5-1 win away to Northwich last night. They were dead and buried 7 days ago. I even said that on here. They'd lost eight successive games. No chance.
They beat
no
Sheffield.
Sign of recovery. And it's incredible. Incredible. And so now... It's genuinely bunched up again. You're right, Vicks had a great win at Sheffield and they kind of revived their own hopes going into last night's game, thinking, wow, if we beat Loughborough, we climb outside the bottom three. What an incentive. And then they've completely imploded for the second time in 7 days. Wow. Rugby, how do we unravel this? Rugby's still in pole position. They've got a game in hand. They're at home to Gresley on Saturday, which... Gresley have nothing to play for. You know, they've got a second bite at the cherry wheel. They've got away with it after losing to Loughborough. They pick up 3 points on Saturday. They remain in pole position. But they'll be nervous because they dropped the clanger against Loughborough last weekend. Loughborough is absolutely remarkable. I had a little look this morning. In their head-to-heads against Rugby and Northwich, they've collected maximum points. In that mini-table, they've got 12 points from the games against Rugby and Northwich. Incredible to have put themselves even in with the slightest chance of staying up. The weird dynamic here, just mentioned Gresley. Gresley have got to play rugby and Loughborough in the next two games. So they're going to decide who gets relegated, which is quite an honour for them to be in that position. I did see Gresley last Saturday, by the way, against Witton. They very much give the impression of a side that is looking forward to their summer holiday, shall I say. So they've probably had a rocket off their manager this week. But it's very hard, isn't it, when you're at this stage of the season. You know you're safe. There's nothing really riding on the games. I think if Gresley concede the first goal in those games, and this is very much how it played out last Saturday, that there's not a great deal of kind of, what's the word, urgency for them to kind of then go back and fight back in those games. So it's still all to play for. I think rugby slightly, you'd want to be in their position. Northwich are in the most difficult position. I mean, their goal difference took a battering last night, which was one thing they had up their sleeve. And their remaining two games are against Witton and Spalding away. Now, Spalding probably won't have anything to play for and will have their minds on the playoffs. So that's not a bad one, you'd think. But, I mean, Witton aren't going to give them anything on Monday. I can guarantee you that. So it's they're in a really precarious position. And, of course, if Rugby do pick up 3 points on Saturday, that would leave Northwich 6 points behind with two games left. I think that pretty much condemns them, I'm afraid. So they very much will be cheering for Gresley on Saturday. But, yeah, it's again, that race is going to go on a little bit longer. It may even go on to the last game of the season, which is great, isn't it?
Yeah, it's absolutely, it's fabulous. Well done, all three of you. I'm dead proud of you. I really am. Next week, we're going to have the MPL show live from Leeds Town, obviously, for the Dudeson final. But there will be an impromptu Division 1 show next week where we'll be looking at those last games of the season and where we are. It's after the Easter bank holidays games. It's going to be it's a critical week, and Division 1 South serving up a crescendo of a finish. It's brilliant stuff. And where's the best place to keep abreast of that Cheshire section of what's going on?
Yeah, northwichguardian.co.uk and on social media, I'm Simo_on_sport. I will be at Wincham Park for both games Saturday and Monday. I'll be at Witton v Stamford on Saturday to see how Witton respond to losing to Shawley. And then on Monday, I'll be at the big derby between Witton and Northwich, where Witton, the landlords, could be in the position where they relegate their tenants, Northwich, which what a story that would be. So, two massive games for me to cover this weekend. Stay tuned.
Andrew Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian. You take care. Have a good weekend, and we'll be hearing from you next week. And that, dear listener, is this week's show. A big thank you to all my guests for joining me on this week's show. We've had loads, haven't we? And a big thank you as well to the league for allowing us access to the awards due in Barnsley last Sunday. And, of course, Prescott Cables for hosting us on Tuesday evening. We'll be back next week live on Wednesday evening from Leek Town as we're bringing you the final of the Integro Dudeson League Cup between Grantham Town and Bamber Bridge. Full commentary is coming your way on FCUM Radio and Whitby Town Radio. That's from 7 o'clock on Wednesday evening, and the podcast will be available on Thursday too. But in the meantime, don't forget you can follow this show on Twitter. That's at NPL Show. And you can get involved with all the discussions and chatter on the old internet. That's at facebook.com/groups/the NPL. But that's it for this week's Evo Stick Extra. I've been Ben Hughes, and wherever you're going this Easter to cheer on your NPL side, make sure that you have fun. Goodbye.
With over 500 high-performance products in the Evo Stick range, you may need a bigger van. Evo Stick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.